Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, everybody? It is Friday, May 16th edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long bring you until 5:30 today as we get ready for Game 2 of LSU Baseball at South Carolina. First pitch at 6 o'clock in... oh, my, what an ending last night for the Bayou Bengals. You heard it there in the Sports Flash. A bases-loaded, wild pitch, walk-off victory for Paul Maneri's Gamecocks.
Yeah, rough night for Zach Cowan.
Yeah, wasn't, right?
I think he hit a batter to load the bases, too. Like, it wasn't just the wild pitch. They went in, leading 5-4, and they lost 6-5. I think they led by two runs three separate times in that game.
They led the entire game until that walk-off.
I just feel like, you know, it's like LSU's got to feel like, can we just fast forward to the SEC tournament? Like, we're number one in the country. We've proven everything we need to prove. We don't need to be out here playing against this, 5-22 South Carolina team in the SEC. This series means way more to them than it does to LSU. Like, this is their Super Bowl. This is their World Series, right? Like, so I don't know. I kind of feel like it's just like, can we just get there? Can we get there?
First,
like,
up, though, we got to get to the SEC tournament.
I know. It's just funny because, like, this is just like a series that, like, if it was in NFL terms, this would be like week 18 and you have already clinched the top seed, it doesn't work because they're actually the 3 seed in the SEC, even though they're the top team in the country. But no, it was just kind of funny to watch it. Like, that meant so much more to South Carolina than it could have ever meant to LSU last night.
Yeah, big victory. Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, called it the, you know, a hallmark victory for Paul Maneri this season at South Carolina. They have not had a very good season there, and we'll see what happens in Game 2 tonight. The good news is at least the ace, Cade Anderson's on the mound for the Bayou Bengals this evening. We'll see how he responds after having that cramp in his hand. Me and Charlie were kind of talking before going on air. How long do the Tigers keep him in? Is it going to be, you know, an extended 6-7 inning run for him in this game, or do they kind of pull him early? I guess it depends on a lot with what's going on with the batters.
I mean, I think it would be foolish to not be looking ahead right now.
Right.
Like, and I get it. Every game matters. Not really. Like, you're going to throw him out there. You're not going to have him training wheels on him, but, you know, he's not throwing 130 pitches.
No.
There's just no scenario where you're extending him you just need to get through these games, you know? So I don't know. I'm looking forward to the games that actually matter. No offense to the Paul Maneri and the Gamecocks, but they're not good. They're just not very good. Anyway,
they did pull that game off last night. A big gut punch for LSU. Still trying to not lock up a top 8 national seed in the NCAA tournament. And then, like I mentioned, first up will be the SEC tourney, which will start next week. We'll have that for you on WWL AM FM.
Yeah, it's tough because they don't gain anything by winning, but they lose something by losing.
Right? Exactly.
Like, their RPI is going to drop like a rock if they get swept. But if they win the next two games, it won't change anything for them.
Charlie, real quick, how much did the RPI drop for LSU after that loss yesterday?
Right now, LSU's 8 in RPI. So they're not in the best spot, in all honesty, for that top 8 national seed. if they lose this weekend series, but, you know, talking with the D1 guys, that 19 win mark in conference play, guys, it's been pretty unprecedented for a team to win 19 SEC games, especially with the SEC being as tough as it was this year and be left out of that top eight.
The RPI is funny, though, because was it Grambling, the game they called off? Like, I saw that if the RPI, if they had lost, they would have gone down by like 20. If they won, it would have gone down by like 5. So, like, just not playing the game at all was better for them in the RPI
winning
the game.
Scenario, right.
Which is just kind of hilarious.
RPI is weird. Some committees use it more than others as a crutch. D1 had an interview actually this week with the commissioner for, you know, the seeding and everything, and determining the field at 64. And it said that it's going to be something that they use, but it's not going to be something that they lean on necessarily. So if you're LSU, yes, you're 8 in RPI at the moment. But at the same time, I think they're going to look at kind of the body of work and the body of work for LSU this year. Yes, they're ranked number 1 right now. If they finish with 2 wins in Friday and Saturday, everybody's going to forget about what happened last night, and they will still get that top 8.
Steve, I have a segue. You want to hear it?
Hit it.
So you want to hear something, someone else that is used but not leaned on.
Uh-oh.
It's Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the 49ers. They'll use him, but they won't lean on him, but they will pay him.
Yeah, definitely.
They will pay him because we don't need to talk a ton about this, but Brock Purdy, the former 262nd pick in the NFL draft, signed a 5-year, $265 million contract extension. Is $3 million enough to justify not having that be a $262 million contract for the number 262 pick? Why? Come on, guys. Give me something here. But now, from Mr. Irrelevant to a $53 million a year contract, good for him. Not good for the 49ers.
No.
But good for him.
And I have questions about the 49ers going into this season as a whole. I don't know really where this franchise stands in. We talked about it on the podcast. I even said it with the schedule release when it came out. I feel more confident for the Saints in that week 2 matchup than I do in week 1.
We'll see. You know, it's funny because the value of a quarterback goes down dramatically once you start paying them $53 million. And it's not because they're a worse quarterback. It's because you can't build around them in the way that you need to, right? When Russell Wilson was on a rookie contract, you could build the Legion of Boom around him and win a Super Bowl. You know, when Brock Purdy was on a rookie contract, you could build that whole roster. You could bring in Christian McCaffrey and pay him. You know, you could pay Debo Samuel. You could pay all these guys. Now you're paying the quarterback. You got to move him out. Dak Prescott with the Cowboys when he was a rookie and you had that incredible offensive line run game, it's a lot more difficult to win once you pay those guys. And that's what I think the situation the Saints are hoping to be in, not only with their starter, assuming Tyler Shuck takes the job this year or next year or whatever, but also with their backup, because backups make money. We were just talking about, like, Andy Dalton came in here and made like $8 million to be Jameis Winston's backup. Obviously, he started a bunch of games. But even when you brought Jameis Winston back, you paid him a good amount of money. They paid Teddy to be the backup to Drew Brees. In this scenario for the Saints, assuming Tyler Shuck wins that job and Spencer Rattler is his backup, you will have your starting quarterback on a rookie scale deal for 4 years and your backup on a rookie scale deal, a fifth round contract for 2 more years beyond this. So you could theoretically be getting out with your starting quarterback and your backup quarterback at like, what, $5 million a year once you get Derek Carr off the books. So that should allow the Saints, like, if things work out from a quarterback perspective, that's why I think this rebuild for the Saints could come quickly. Because you'll be able to, if you feel, the second you feel like that title window creeps open, you should be able to just dive right through it, assuming you make the right decisions financially.
Speaking of Derek Carr, when we get back from the break, we'll talk about ESPN's article that recently came out about the now retired quarterback, a little more insights on him, and some rumors out there surrounding Chris Olave. We'll get into that and more when we get back here on Sports Talk. You can chime in on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Hope your weekend has started already, folks. If not, we can bring you to the finish line as we get ready for LSU baseball, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. Be back with more Sports Talk after this on WWL. Welcome back into our Friday edition of Sports Talk, getting ready for Game 2, LSU baseball taking on South Carolina, 6 o'clock first pitch. Cade Anderson on the mound. Pre-game coverage will start 5:30 right here on WWL AMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Well, just when you think Derek Carr is out of your life, there's still more news coming out about him. ESPN.com putting out an article today, why Derek Carr's surprise retirement has prompted questions. And I know a lot of folks wondering, including me, honestly, what would prompt the QB to walk away from that $30 million instead of, you know, rotting away on the Saints PUP or IR list, whatever you want to say. It just, a lot of questions still are around out there. And, you know, it doesn't help around these parts. There's so much animosity towards him that I think there's a lot of conclusions being drawn about the story, what exactly happened with him. And I don't know if we'll ever know. And it doesn't help that he hasn't really said anything either.
Yeah, it's kind of the, you know, sometimes if you don't get a satisfactory answer, you're going to kind of imagine the scenario that you think is true. And even if there's no evidence to support it, it's like, well, that makes more sense to me. So what's I'm going to believe? The team has painted a picture of how this has gone. Believe it, don't believe it, whatever. ESPN, yeah, Catherine Terrell and Jeremy Fowler posted a story today. I wouldn't say there's a ton of news in it, right? Like, it's not breaking. There is some background, some context that they added, which there's a few things that are very clear. Even, you know, if you're reading the tea leaves, you're reading between the lines, it might not have been explicitly stated, but this was not altruism. This was not Derek Carr, you know, calling everyone into his study and saying, I have a gift for the fan. No, this was a negotiation. This was the Saints and Derek Carr coming together in an awkward situation, figuring out what was going to be the best path forward for all parties involved. I think if Derek had tried to take all $40 million of that, they would have probably fought him on it. Who's to say how that would go, but it would not have looked good for either team. A lot of stuff would have come out in that process. They probably didn't want to come out. So they came to an accord, right? What I think, and there's a few things in here, you know, the question is, okay, why would he walk away from $30 million?
Yeah.
What I think people misunderstand about Derek because of the resentment about him on the field as a quarterback is he's not a bad dude. He's not a cartoon villain. He's not Scrooge McDuck, like diving into his money pit. He's not Mr. Burns, like over there counting his money, like, hey, excellent. Derek Carr doesn't hate the Saints. He might not love Saints fans.
Well, he was reportedly checking out trade, you know, options before retiring.
Sure. I'm not saying that he wanted to play here, but he doesn't hate the Saints. He might not want to see a Saints fan for the rest of his life, but the team has done right by him. Like, point to me where he and the team have been at odds. So the idea that he would want to go out of his way to jam up the Saints, who have kind of been over backwards to make this work for him, I don't think that's true. I think they're on good terms. So, you know, when the question was, Derek, are you going to take a pay cut to go play in front of all those fans that are booing you every time you throw an incompletion? You'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. When the conversation was, I don't think I'm going to play. Like, I don't think Derek's the type of person who would say, I know I'm never going to play again, but I'm going to make you pay me every dime, even though this is a bad situation. I don't see that. So I think there was, you know, like, if it's being painted as, wow, out of the goodness of his heart, he has handed the Saints back $30 million. No. At the same time, I don't think it is as nefarious as people who their primary sources just trust me, bro, would lead you to believe, right? I just think it's never, there's always shades of gray in this type of situation. And, you know, believing the worst of people is a lot easier than just saying it's probably somewhere in the middle, you know, but hey. That's where it is. But yeah, that's really what this article is. And there's a lot of really good information in there. If you want to get some of the background, there's a lot of sources that are not identified, but, you know, you could probably infer some of them in terms of who's talking. No, I mean...
It did kind of seem pretty clear from the article that with Derek Carr, you know, finding out Dennis Allen not going to be around anymore and some of the other coaches, that kind of also helped him want to move on to somewhere else as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest question is the timeline.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's confusing in that, okay, there was a point where Derek was looking for a trade. There was a point where, you know, it's like you don't know whether he's going to come back, and then all of a sudden there's the injury, and it's like, well, why was he looking for a trade if he was hurt?
Right.
The team would say he didn't know about the injury at that point. And that's the part where you're like, okay, is that true? right? Was there more to the injury than he's letting on? You know, and at the end of the day, whether he did it during a game, whether, you know, he aggravated his shoulder digging in his garden, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think the Saints and Derek Carr were more than happy to move past this scenario without trying to hash out those details, right? Because that's what it would have taken for the Saints to try to claw back the money. He didn't force them to do that, and so it's a win for the Saints. It's something of a win for Derek if he's happy in retirement. We'll see how that goes.
I'm sure you saw his brother on NFL Network saying that...
Can David Carr stop talking for Derek?
Basically saying, though, he's saying that he does not have plans to come back, wants to spend time now with his family.
I'm tired of hearing from David Carr. If Derek wants to talk, great.
I'd like to hear from Derek instead of everybody else.
Stop routing your information through David. Like, go on YouTube. You have a YouTube channel. Just say something. Anyway, it is what it is. But yeah, it's an interesting article. I read the whole thing. It's very well written. They did a great job. So definitely go check that out.
Good news for Saints fan. Derek Carr, not our problem anymore.
At the end of the day, he's gone.
We ain't got to worry about it. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll check in. It's Columbia, South Carolina. Koki Riley of the Times-Picayune and Advocate giving us an update as LSU baseball gets ready for Game 2 against South Carolina right here on WWL 6. Be back with more of Sports Talk, though, right after this. Stay tuned.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It was a rough one in Columbia, South Carolina last night. LSU going down 6-5 to the Gamecocks in a wild walk-off, wild pitch victory for Paul Mainieri's South Carolina squad. Checking in now from SoCal, Koki Riley from the Advocate and Times-Picayune covering the LSU baseball beat. Koki, first of all, how you doing out there? And man, oh man, what a wild night at the ballpark.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. About a 6-minute drive from the park right now. So down here in beautiful Columbia, South Carolina. It's very nice here. I like it here. But crazy game last night. And it should be interesting to sort of dive into it, I guess.
Yeah. Steve, I have to say, I lived in South Carolina for 4 years.
Yeah.
I've never once heard anyone refer to it as SoCal.
I just need you to know that. This is not LA.
looking at least the weather out there is going to be pretty accommodating. We don't have to worry about any rain delays for the this matchup the weekend. And just curious, though, before we dive into the game, the atmosphere out there seemed to be pretty lacking. You could audibly hear on the LSU radio network and even on the television broadcast plenty of LSU chants going on. So not many Gamecock fans seem to be in attendance.
Well, the ones who were there were pretty vocal, I will say that. So, like, you could hear, like, individual people, you know, screaming at Michael Braswell or doing whatever the entire game. But, I mean, can you really blame them? The team's 6-22. Last night was their best one of the season by far. And they've just it's just been a major, major struggle for them this entire year. And, I mean, like, apparently, as the other beat reporters say, that people are paying attention to the team, and, you know, they like to let out their frustration by reading articles about how much they're struggling, but they're not willing to spend money to actually go to the games. And honestly, it doesn't make sense to me, because it's not like South Carolina doesn't have any fans. I mean, 2 years ago when LSU was here, they packed out that place. Founders Park, it's a really beautiful park, too. But, yeah, it was destitute. That's kind of the best way to describe, like, the crowd and just kind of the environment there last night. It's probably going to be like that. It's probably going to be even worse tonight, and they'll probably won't be that great tomorrow either, because, you know, the softball regional is going on at the same time.
Koki, I am curious, you know, obviously Paul hasn't been here for a good number of years at this point, but it's always interesting when, you know, a longtime LSU coach just appears somewhere else, particularly in the SEC. Clearly that program can't be happy with how the season has gone. I think they're 5-22 in the SEC right now. But what are your impressions of, you know, do you think, you know, this is kind of a build for Paul? Like, how do you feel like this season has gone for him and South Carolina?
Well, now they're 6-22 because they won last night.
Right.
But you're pretty much right on the nose there. Honestly, I'm not a reporter here. I'm not on the ground here. I mean, I'm on the ground here right now. But from what I can tell, I mean, it's more talk of, you know, how can we find ways to the fan base. I'm just telling this from the fan base perspective. It's more about, like, ways to, you know, quickly pay for this buyout. What are we going to do? What's the next step of South Carolina baseball after Paul Mainieri? Is it even possible to turn this thing around under him? Pass him by? Like, it's much more negative talk, honestly, around the whole entire situation. And it does make sense, though, because just they're so. This is a program that feels like it's very behind, and it's a coach who has been thrown into this entire new era of college baseball that, quite frankly, he just wasn't prepared for. And we've seen it this year with this year's roster, and it seems like they're hard at work in terms of recruiting. Like, I know Paul was on a flight flying around on Monday to try to do a recruiting visit in season. And I mean, they're trying to work hard to rebuild that program, but, like, the talk of it and just the vibe of it is just not good at all right now.
Koki, we could talk about last night, but I'm choosing to look forward to the next two games. LSU saving, obviously, Cade Anderson for tonight and Anthony Ianson for tomorrow. My first question for you, though, with Cade specifically, we talked with Scott Sanders, a former MLB pitcher, earlier on in the week, and the whole thing with the wrist cramp, it seems very unusual. I know Ben McDonald said that on the broadcast, and it's just kind of strange for a pitcher to pop up with a wrist cramp and it not be a more serious injury. But when you made the report that it was A-OK, that Cade was going to be good to go for this weekend, I think a ton of LSU fans had a deep sigh of relief. But going tonight, you know, Jay didn't pitch him on Thursday. He wanted to pitch him on normal rest. I want to get your thoughts on what you expect from Cade tonight. Because you lose that game one, it's really important to take this game two tonight. But, you know, how long is the leash going to be on Cade Anderson, especially after that injury scare last weekend?
It's a good question, because you have, like you said, you have the regional coming up next week. Not next week, but in 2 weeks. And you want your ducks to be lined up in a row, no matter, you know, what the situation is. So I don't think he's going to throw 135 pitches tonight, right, if I had to guess. like he has already this season. But, I mean, I could see him getting close to 100 at least. I mean, he's been pretty consistently, you know, hitting 100 really since the almost since the start of SEC play, basically. So that's kind of what I would expect. And, you know, you just hope the offense can give them like a really, really strong cushion if you're LSU through the first six or seven innings, however long Cade lasts. And LSU has a major pitching advantage in the next two games to go along with the talent advantage that they already have. So, I mean, if South Carolina was going to win a game, it was going to be last night, and they did it. If you're LSU, there's no excuse to lose the next two games. Just given all the advantages that you have over these next two games, there's really none whatsoever. And, I mean, I guess, you know, last night you could have argued, well, you know, one less day of rest for LSU compared to South Carolina, because South Carolina played a Thursday to Saturday last week, and you know, you're not going to pitch your best pitcher in the first game, and yada, yada, yada. And South Carolina used their best arms last night. But, yeah, they have to win these next two games, just in terms – maybe not even from, like, a seeding perspective or, like, a top eight seed perspective, but honestly just from, like, a pride and performance perspective, you know? So, yeah, these next two games are important in that aspect, if not for anything else.
A bunch of mistakes last night, from fielding to base running, and, you know, just magnifies the problems that this LSU squad's had on the road this season. For whatever reason that is, you know, they've been super solid at Alec Box Stadium, but not so much away from the box. And I'm just wondering, what can this team do going forward now as we get ready for postseason play to prove that they can win away from home?
Hit the ball better, because it's like their offense away from the box and at the box are almost two completely different offenses. And I don't really have a great explanation as to why that's the case, because it's not like they're playing much weaker teams at home. They played Arkansas and Tennessee. That's two of the most talented teams in the country. But on the road, just for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put it together. At the plate, I mean, that weekend in Frisco is really their only super strong offensive weekend this season on the road. You're absolutely right. And that's why a top eight seed for this team is so important, because then you're staying at home throughout Omaha, throughout your run to potentially get to Omaha. So, that's also why these next two games are pretty important. So, it's all about the offense of this team. If this team hits, they are very, very, very hard to beat, because they have one of the best pitching staffs in the country. They strike out they're as good of a strikeout team as any in the country. They have a 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation. They have a couple guys out of the bullpen that you can really trust, or at least relatively trust. I just feel like that if they hit and, you know, they score five or more runs, they're 34-2 in games where they scored five or more runs. The second loss came last night. This is a team that is very, very tough to beat. And it really just comes down to that offense. And it was a very weird night last night for the offense. You know, 11 hits, you get to five runs, you hit the ball pretty hard, and it just happened to, you know, get caught. So the base running last night was the thing that really, really killed them, because I think they would have gotten to like 8 or 9 runs if they had just, you know, not run into outs on the bases. So, it's all about the offense for me with this team.
Koki, definitely appreciate the time, man. Hope you have a great evening. And luckily, no weather delays are going to be having any late night, you know, writing for you to happen.
I'm hoping for that, too. Thanks so much, guys.
Appreciate it, Koki. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
Koki Riley, who writes for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate, joining us there, breaking down LSU baseball in South Carolina. Game 2, a 5:30 pregame coverage, 6 o'clock first pitch. The lineup just released from the LSU baseball team on Twitter. Nothing really different for the Tigers lineup-wise going into this matchup, and hoping that, like Koki said, that they can find this offense on the road. We know the pitching, that the arms are there, especially with your studs right now, Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson, left starting for you this final two games. Just give them some run support, please.
Yeah, do it. I mean, just win a game. Beat a bad team. Right. Just go beat a bad team. That's all you got to do. And then you can worry about everything else.
Yeah, escape Paul Mineri's revenge.
Yeah, right. Well, again, this means a heck of a lot more to South Carolina than it does to LSU.
Stepping away for a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll talk about those Chris Olave trade rumors that have been swirling around social media and give our thoughts on it. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Getting ready for LSU baseball. Game 2 at South Carolina. 6 o'clock first pitch. 5:30 pregame coverage coming up. I want to get into some of the rumors out there surrounding Saints wide receiver Chris Olave. Supposedly the Pittsburgh Steelers are in heat for him.
In heat? Jeez.
reports are that they've expressed interest in trading with the Saints for the wide receiver. Adam Crowley of 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh simply wrote Chris Olave in a post. Alan Saunders of SteelersNow.com reports the team confirmed to him discussions have taken place regarding a possible Olave trade, and sure, the Steelers might want to acquire him.
I'd love the Saints.
I don't know if the Saints are interested in dealing.
I bet the Saints would love to trade for Ja'Marr Chase. You think the Bengals are interested? No, I mean, here's the thing. I don't really care if the Steelers want to make a trade. Are the Saints going to make a trade? And the interesting thing about it is you know, a lot of times you'll be able to look and say, well, there's no track record of this happening. Except for the Saints, there actually is, because, and the guy who is the track record is back in the building, because it's Brandon Cooks. Because if you look at how they traded Brandon Cooks, he was a first-round pick. He was going into year 4 of his deal. The Saints traded him to New England. Now, it's a different scenario because you had an established coach there. You had Michael Thomas, who was clearly a budding superstar behind him. You don't really have that here. The other major difference is the Saints picked up Chris Olave's fifth-year option. And Chris Olave, his value on the trade market is as low as it's ever going to be. So, you know, what made the Brandon Cooks trade make sense is you got a first-round pick back in exchange for him, and that pick ended up being Ryan Ramczyk. Sure, if the Saints are considering trading Chris Olave, if you could get a first-round pick in return, sure. If it's anything less than that, no. And here's the reason why. You have an extra year on that deal, so you can let him go out there, hopefully stay healthy this year, and then before next year, if you still don't want to pay him, then you can trade him. And you'll be able to get a much better deal because he's still on a contract, and you'll be able to do that. When they traded Brandon Cooks, they had not picked up his option. They traded him to the Patriots, right, who then picked up his option and traded him anyway to the Rams. So I don't see it. It doesn't make sense. You're not trading a guy. You don't sell stocks when they're
unless
at their lowest
quote,
point.
Unquote, Steelers have a godfather offer, like everyone loves to
right.
say nowadays.
If you get the deal, that's one thing. I think the Steelers are like, we could get him. We could steal him. Whoa. I don't see it.
Coming up, top of the hour news. Then we'll be back with more of Sports Talk. So stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back into Sports Talk as we get into our Bet365 triple option feature. Guys, I'm going to lead things off with some racing news. Fox Sports announcing a star-studded Indy 500. It's going to include Tony Stewart, Danica Patrick. No surprises there, but Tom Brady they're going to bring into the mix. The GOAT of football is now going to get into car racing. I'm interested to see what Tom's analysis is going to be for the Indianapolis 500. There's also going to be former New England Patriots teammate Rob Gronkowski, also with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then you got Fox NFL Sunday analyst Michael Strahan in the mix. So Fox
Why?
The Indy 500 for the first time this year, I feel like they're pulling out all the stops to try and get attention for it.
This feels like when the NCAA tournament starts and suddenly I have to hear Charles Barkley's take on the zone defense. Like, okay, well, I guess we could do this, but sure.
Yeah, and Fox has already seen modest success with the property utilizing star power on its payroll. Should only further help those results. Jeff, you are next up in our triple option.
Oh, I am. And tonight, we got one basketball game, and it is the Celtics trying to make Knicks fans cry. Because I think every Knicks fan and their mother is like, we are just waiting to find out the date that we start the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in, like, ever. It feels like they haven't been there for... But...
I feel like there's a little tension there.
If all the pressure's on the Knicks. And if they lose this game, like, this is the type of game that, you know, gets you fired as a head coach, right? Because Tom Thibodeau's not going to recover from this. But either way, so 3-1 series deficits. Now, the NBA is the only major sport where no team has ever come back from 3-0 down. Now, the Celtics should have, because a couple years ago they were down 3-0 to the Heat, came all the way back to force a game 7. Jason Tatum sprained his ankle in the first 5 minutes of that game, and, you know, like, they would have won that game. Anyway, it has happened 13 times that a team has come all the way back from 3-1 down and won the series. Another 23 times the team came back and forced it to Game 7 and then lost, which is not surprising because typically if you're down 3-1, it's because you're probably not the better team, or you're, in most cases, it's probably the higher-seeded team that's ahead. In this case, Game 7 would be in Boston, so the Knicks really have to win it here. Either way, the interesting thing is it's only happened 13 times in NBA history, but the last two times it happened, or the last 2 years it happened twice in that same playoff run, because in 2016, the Warriors came back from 3-1 down against the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. Then the Cavs came back from 3-1 down in the NBA Finals. So he kind of flipped it on him. And then in 2020, the Nuggets did it twice in one playoff run. They came back from 3-1 down against the Jazz, and then they came back from 3-1 down against the Clippers. So all I'm saying is if the Celtics pull it off, expect it to happen again before the playoffs are over.
You can have dual screen action tonight between LSU baseball and the Knicks game?
Sure. I'm going to be paying more attention to the Celtics game. I'm sorry, the South Carolina is not going to draw my eyeballs over an elimination game in the NBA playoffs.
Well, sorry. Charlie, I know what you'll be watching tonight.
Yeah, I'll be tuned in. I'll be driving to Lafayette tonight, so I'll be listening to the broadcast this evening. My stat of the day, guys: LSU was 27-0 this year when leading after 8 innings. That's how good some of their top end bullpen arms have been so far this year, with Zach Cowan and Casey Nevins kind of specifically. Now they're 27-1. Last night's game, giving up 2 runs in the 9th inning, the walk-off wild pitch for South Carolina, winning their 6th SEC game of the season. And if you're LSU, as we talked with Koki Riley earlier on in the show, guys, at about 4:40, there's no reason you lose this series to this bad team. South Carolina has been getting drubbed by opponents, specifically Florida and Auburn the last two weekends. You got to win this weekend series. There's no if, and, or buts about it, because the 19 win mark is the real magic number to feel safe about a top eight national seed. And as Koki had kind of mentioned earlier on, this team's, I don't really understand it. Like, I would be interested to look up the stats about Ethan Frye's home and away splits, because I think that's one example, but like Jake Brown's another one. He hits really well at the box.
Steven Milam
has been kind of, he hasn't made the jump that we were anticipating him, Steve, in all honesty. So, but the team just literally does hit better at home. It's a very strange phenomenon that they're going up against. In this instance, South Carolina is a bad pitching staff.
That's what I was going to go to. You better see this offense pick it up.
Even going against, you know, their quote-unquote best arms, as Koki kind of mentioned, Crawford's a bullpen guy. He pitched like a career high in innings. And I know that LSU's had their issues against lefties throughout the season. Maybe it's a little bit unfair because they faced so many lefties. Brandon Stone had like a 6 ERA, and he came out and he was really, really good out of the bullpen for them. So if you're LSU, it's put up or shut up time. You got to take this weekend series. Win the next two games. You have the gigantic pitching advantage, as Koki had kind of mentioned, with Cade Anderson on the mound tonight. We'll see how long he actually ends up going. That's kind of my big question mark. If LSU comes out and they light up McCoy, who's the South Carolina starter this evening, he's got like a 6.5 ERA. If they light him up and they get out to an early 8-2 or 8-1 type of lead, then I think you'll see them be very patient with Cade and maybe take him out kind of early and go to the bullpen, you know, maybe in the fifth inning or something like that. We'll just kind of have to see how it plays out. But LSU's offense needs to do their part of the job. I know they had 11 hits last night. It did not feel like they had 11 hits last night. They just weren't. The base running issues were palpable. Two really bad plays at third base with Derek Curiel and Michael Braswell. Just Braswell a bad slide and Curiel just a non-slide. And they're both called out on the base paths. You can't have that. It's silly mistakes like that that keep a bad team like South Carolina in a game. You got to win the next two games. That's all I got to say. If you pick up games 2 and 3 with your best two pitchers on the mound, you're going to have that top eight national seed locked up. Don't have to worry about anything in Hoover next week because it's already going to be done. But you got to do it. You got to go out and take these next two games against South Carolina.
There were those two issues too for the LSU in the outfield last night as well. Just a series of unfortunate events.
And you know, for what it's worth, if we're going to criticize, we also got to praise, because there were some good defensive plays last night. Steven Milam made a couple good plays at shortstop. Josh Pearson had a great double play in right field.
The Bear.
I mean, exactly. In the ninth inning, Jared Jones makes a great play at first base, but there were way too many mental mistakes that we don't see very often from this Jay Johnson coach team.
Did you get to see the camera going to Paul Maneri when Bear Jones made that catch?
This was probably more reminiscent for a lot of South Carolina fans about what had happened earlier in the year, where they lost a lot of really close, highly competitive, hard-fought games early on in the season. And that really kind of tanked their year within the first couple weeks of SEC play. But then more recently, Steve, we've kind of reviewed some of the numbers that they've been giving up. They've been getting killed. And for LSU to drop game one that they had control of for literally the entire game, it's not a good look, but at the same time, you have your two reliable pitchers on the mound the next two games. If the offense can wake up and pick up these two wins, I think you'll be feeling really, really good heading into next week.
We'll be having that game for you coming up soon, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk and come back and wrap things up, getting you ready for LSU baseball. Stay tuned here on WWL. We're back here on Friday edition of Sports Talk, wrapping things up and having our final word on Friday. Buckle up, folks. We're going to go to James on the line. Want to talk about Chris Olave. What you got today, James?
Okay, so it's really four real quick things. I know we pressed for time. Yeah, I would trade for Olave for a second, and like Charlie said, second and a fourth, whatever. He's not really worth the headache. Pardon the expression there, but four really quick things.
Yeah,
Peoples Jones, I think he's an outstanding selection as a free agent. He's got the talent to make the team. His thing is dealing with overcoming, you know, sobriety, 2 years clean. This is the wrong city, really. I mean, it's a hard city. That's right. A city he can't overcome that, and I'm praying for him. The free agent quarterback,
Deckers.
I think he's probably more talented than midget guy.
Jake Haner?
Not Rattler, but yeah, definitely. But here's the thing. He's a tick slower, meaning he runs a 4.65. Now, come on, he's a left-hander. I would like to see him on the field as a backup. One other thing, I don't know if you guys were here, or two other things, actually. I don't know if you guys were here doing the NOLA game with the Rams or whatever, but we're moving in the age. These young players right now, the same age as my son, all they know is computers. We're in the age of robotics and AI. If that happened right now, I think the NFL needs to really consider moving in that direction instead of having referees and stuff like that. You know, let's get these get this AI stuff.
You want refs? You want AI to officiate the game? I don't know about that. I think let's see if they can call balls and strikes. How about that? If we can get the robots to call balls and strikes, then maybe we can have them call pass interference. I don't know, but there was a lot there. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think the Steelers want to kick the tires on Chris Olave because they feel like, hey, we can get a really good deal on Chris Olave right now.
Yeah.
And that's the exact reason I don't think he gets traded, because the Saints aren't just interested in just moving on from him.
Right, he's not dead weight here.
Right, like I think the Saints really like Chris Olave, and it's just a matter of keeping him healthy on the field. Now, if you don't think that's possible, maybe, but I don't think they're gonna like. I hate talking about players as if they're stocks, but like, you don't sell a stock at its lowest point. You know, you wait. You see if it bounces back, and if it doesn't,
unless you're desperate, and yeah, that's not the case, right, with Olave.
You're not gaining.
Trying to just get rid of him.
He's on a rookie deal,
right?
You know, maybe next year again. Maybe next year prior to that fifth year option, because that fifth year option is going to hit at like $20 million. But right now, it just doesn't make sense. As far as Deckers, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think he's a practice squad guy. I think he's a guy that you brought in because you're interested in trying to develop him. We'll see if Haner, you know, I don't think, like Kellen Moore said, hey, it's going to be a three-way quarterback competition. I don't know how you manage a three-way quarterback competition. There's just not that many reps.
I'm just curious if they're still bringing in a veteran quarterback, because then I would think Jake Haner's job security here is in danger.
Yeah, I think if you were cutting anybody, it would probably be Jake, right? If you signed a veteran and you needed to cut one of these quarterbacks, because
right,
carrying five quarterbacks is, I don't know, just don't do it. But yeah, I would guess it would be Jake.
Coming up with organized team activities starting next week for the Black and Gold. We'll have that all covered for you. Monday on the show, we'll be getting into what the Black and Gold roster still needs to address. People talking about receiver, O-line, cornerback. We'll get into all that, plus previewing the SEC baseball tournament, along with a look at the NBA playoffs and college football right around the corner. Is LSU a top 10 team? Coming up, LSU baseball game 2 against South Carolina. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch, right here on WWL.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.